Thank you, ladies, for that special. And thank God for Jesus. When you start thinking about those details, it's pretty amazing to consider what he's done for us. I want to invite you to open your Bibles tonight to John chapter 19, and we're going to pick up at verse 48. John 19, 48. I want to say how thankful I am for your patience with me. Make a lot of mistakes up here, some more obvious to me than others. Some of them I don't notice until one of you makes fun of me later. That's usually Brian. I just figure at the end of the day we're all in this together, right? And we're trying to know him. And it is heavy to consider what Christ did for us. To truly consider what the scripture's saying when it says they scourged him. To consider what it's saying when it says that there they crucified him. When we stop and really consider what Christ endured for us, when it says he became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. To imagine our Savior crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's hard to understand that. It's hard to comprehend that. But I think that if the love of Christ is in you, there's a desire to understand. There's a desire to know. And we ought to be those who are faithful to remember. To remember who he is, to remember what he's done for us, and to remember what he's called us to be. And so with those considerations in your heart tonight, let's stand together. We're going to read John 19 and verse 48 to get started tonight. John 19, 48. Did I do it again this whole time? It's a lot of fun. Luke 23, 48. Isn't it fun when you're trying to be all serious and about the mistakes? And yeah, I think my daughter was about to fall off the back pew laughing at me, and I didn't know why. I like to say how thankful I am for how patient. Lord help. Luke 23, verse 48. I'm just glad that Dave doesn't have a buzzer back there in the back, like, try again. All right. Somebody want to sing another special? I feel like I need a reset. Verse 48, and all the people that came together to that site, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity together. We are thankful for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, I maybe more clearly than ever need your help. Lord, we want to honor Jesus tonight. We want to remember what you've done for us. And I pray that no matter what, Christ will be exalted and magnified. I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. Lord, if anyone hearing this message has never been born again, that today they would repent and believe the gospel and call on the name of Jesus and be saved, that the saved would be fully surrendered to you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help in Jesus' name. Amen. When the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God. When he saw that Jesus cried out and gave up the ghost, when he saw the earthquake and those things that were done, he said, truly this was the Son of God. And all the people that came together to that site, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. It's interesting to consider the people that were gathered together there. And we talked about it a little bit this morning. There were those who gathered there and they hated Jesus, and their hearts only were more hardened as they stood there that day. There were others who were there who loved Jesus in the beginning, and they only loved him more as the day progressed. And there were others who just came to see the sight. They were just there. It was a spectacle. But when they went away that day, they smote their breasts and they went back home. Now in Matthew 27 and verse 55, Matthew 27 verse 55, many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. I want you to notice the watching women. In Mark 15, verse 41, it says, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him. So when it's describing these women, they were there that day and they were watching Jesus, the Bible says, afar off. But these were women that had followed him from his ministry in Galilee. These were women who had followed him and had ministered to him. They had served him. And so the picture that you need to get is these were women who were disciples of Jesus. They had been following him through his Galilean ministry. Now, when it's hard sometimes for us to put together all the details and understand exactly how it happened, but what Jesus did was really revolutionary. What Jesus did was he took away all the divisions that divide us. In Christ and in the gospel, there's no more Jew and Gentile. There's no more Roman and Greek and barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. There's no more male or female. In Christ, we are all equal. In Christ, the we always say the ground is level at the foot of the cross. What's that mean? We all come to Jesus on the same level. There's no rich or poor. There's no race. There's no ethnicity. It's just believers and unbelievers. That's the only thing that divides mankind any longer, because Jesus Christ came. The only thing that divides us is whether we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or we don't believe. And so these were women who had followed him and ministered to him. They were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had been following him from his Galilean ministry. That means they followed him around Galilee. That means they followed him up around Perea. It means they followed him all of this way, and now they had followed him to the cross. And he told them that he was going somewhere that they couldn't come, and yet they watched. They watched Jesus because they wanted to see what would happen, and they would continue to watch, and we'll see in a little bit, they would continue to follow Jesus. No matter what happened, they were faithful to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think sometimes, even in our society, there's a lot of debate and a lot of division over gender. There's a lot of debate and division and a lot of craziness about all that today. I just want you to know that Jesus died for everyone. And if you believe in Jesus, whether you're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, you ought to follow Jesus. And these women who follow Jesus ought to be an example to us all in their faithfulness and their service and their love for their Savior. So the woman, we're watching, the watching women, then I want you to notice, I'm pretty sure this is in John 19, verse 31. John chapter 19, verse 31, I want you to notice the expedited execution. Now, before we start reading here in this passage, I want to remind you that the Romans invented crucifixion as a way to prolong somebody's suffering as long as possible. It was really common. Most of the time when someone was crucified, they lingered on for days. Now, I don't know if you can even comprehend that. I can't hardly get it in my mind. Remember, the nails were driven through the hands. The nails were driven through the feet. The arms were taken out of their socket. And the only way a person could breathe would be to push up on the nail in their ankle bones and to pull up on the nails in their wrist in order to exhale and bring in breath. And it was excruciating. And so as they hung there, your body, listen, no matter how much pain you're in, your body wants to live. God's designed us that way. And so as much as maybe you would like to, in that excruciating pain, you would like to just hang there and die, your body would force you to push and pull and to gasp for another gasp of air. And most of the time when people were crucified, they hung on the cross for days. And what the Romans liked to do was to crucify someone, let them linger for several days until they died, let their bodies rot on the crosses, and then let the vultures come and pick them clean. It was horrific. Can you get it in your head? This is what they did to actual living human beings. The Jews were a little bit different. Because under the law in Deuteronomy 21, when somebody was hanged, not crucified, but hanged. Deuteronomy 21, 22, and 23 says that you couldn't leave them hanging on a tree. You had to take them down the day that they died. Now, they didn't have a lot of power over what the Romans did as far as crucifixion, but because this was the day of the preparation, because this was the Passover, it was a Sabbath day and a high holy day, they wanted these bodies taken down. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So in order to expedite the execution, in order to hasten their demise, the Roman soldiers would take an iron hammer, a massive hammer, and they would go to those who were hanging on the cross, and they would take that hammer and they would break their legs. They would crush their leg bones with their hammer so that they can no longer push up. Now, when the body is wanting to get air, now when they're trying to pull up so they can gasp for air, their legs are broken and they can't do it anymore. So they lose the strength and ability to breathe. And so they die of asphyxiation and they hasten their death. I just want to say as a side note, the absolute lack of regard for human life that these people had, by the way, is horrible, but it's not anything new. And it hasn't gone away. If you haven't ever done it, some of you adults need to get on your phone or on your computer and just Google images of aborted babies. And you will see the absolute disregard for the value of human life and the disgusting barbarity that people continue to exhibit today. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scriptures should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Psalm 34 and verse 20. Psalm 34 and verse 20. It also harkens back to the law in that lamb that would be slain. Exodus 12:46 demands that they would be without blemish, that they would not have a broken leg, that they wouldn't be lame. And Jesus would die not having a bone broken according to the scriptures. These truths are given to us, ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls, so that you would believe. So you would understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah promised in the Old Testament, the one who fulfilled all things. And we have all these details recorded from us from eyewitness accounts. And these accounts are given to us and recorded for us and preserved for us so that you will believe. We read in Psalm 22 about how the Savior in the Psalm says that his heart is melted like wax. Most Bible scholars believe that basically Jesus' heart pretty much just ruptured inside of his chest. People debate about that because we know that Jesus didn't die because his heart exploded. He died because he gave up the ghost. At the end of the day, the reality was he was a man in a human body. And the torture that he endured would have put his heart through incredible stress. The soldier driving the spear through his side all the way up into his heart. And the blood and water flowed out, just like the scripture said would happen. So we see the watching women, we see the expedited execution. And now would you notice with me, his body begged and buried. We read on here in John 19:37, and again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. That's Zechariah 12 and verse 10. Now if you'll draw your attention to Mark 15:42. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph, and he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen. Joseph of Arimathea. Most of you that have been in church much at all, you've heard his name. He's an interesting person in the Bible. And when we look at all the Gospels together, we get a great picture of him. Matthew 27, verse 57 tells us that he was a rich man. The Bible tells us that he also himself was Jesus' disciple. Luke's account, Luke 23 and verse 50, tells us that he was a good man and a just. In verse 51, it says, the same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. So he must have had some kind of opinion, and the scripture tells us that he wasn't consenting unto the death of Jesus. He was a counselor. He was a just man. He was a rich man. He was a disciple, but John 19:38 tells us that he was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Now, a lot of people have a lot of opinions about Joseph of Arimathea. Can you be a real disciple of Jesus when you're afraid for anybody to know it? A lot of people would be very critical of Joseph, and maybe rightly so. But I'll tell you this, the Word of God says he was a good man. The Word of God says he was a just man. And the Word of God lets us know that God had used him in a great way to provide a tomb for Jesus. I want you to think about it. What do you suppose would have happened to the body of our Savior if Joseph hadn't gone and begged for his body? How do you suppose the Jews would have treated his body? How do you suppose the Romans would have treated his body? You know, most criminals who didn't have anybody to care for them, the Romans would take their body and throw them into the valley of Gehenna, where they burned the trash, where the dogs came, where the Bible says the flame doesn't go out and their worm dieth not. Gehenna is the picture that Jesus gives us of hell. The Romans probably would have just taken his body and tossed him out with the trash. Maybe some of the other disciples might have tried to get the body, but they didn't have the position. They didn't have the wealth that Joseph had. And isn't it amazing that there in the garden, close to where he was crucified, Joseph happened to have a tomb. So he was a good man. He was a just man. The Bible says that he begged the body of Jesus, that he pleaded with Pilate that he could have the body. And Pilate was amazed that Jesus was already dead, and he confirmed it by the centurion. And when he confirmed that he was dead, this is the same centurion that said, truly this was the Son of God. He heard Jesus give up the ghost. He witnessed him die, and at the moment he died, he witnessed the earthquake hit. And so he confirms it, and Pilate says that he can have the body of Jesus. In John's account, John 19, verse 39, there came also Nicodemus. Remember him? Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. We live in a society, a culture that's very sheltered from the realities of death. I would say on some levels you ought to really thank God for funeral homes. Because in biblical days, you couldn't just call up the funeral home to deal with your departed loved ones. You had to bury your own. And I just want the reality of this to sink in for you. Because Joseph and Nicodemus went and got the battered body of our Savior. I want you to think about it for a minute, what that would have been like to carry the body of Jesus and lay him down. What it would have been like to take those myrrhs and aloes and to anoint the lifeless body of Jesus. The finality that they would have felt as they wrapped those cloths around him and covered his face. How careful they must have been as they took him. The Bible says, and laid him, Mark 15, and verse 46, and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone into the door of the sepulcher. We know that it was a new tomb. We knew it was a place where there was a garden near where Jesus was crucified. We know that it was a new tomb where nobody had ever been laid, and they took Jesus in there, and how carefully they must have laid his body down. Not only the finality of wrapping that cloth over his face, but to walk outside and take that great stone and roll it to cover the door. Some of you have experienced it. Listen, I'm not trying to trump up your emotions tonight. I just want you to realize that it's real. It's not just words on a page. I want you to understand tonight that the women who followed and watched from afar, they saw this happen. And some of you have been there. You know that feeling, that moment when the casket's closed for the last time. You know what it's like when that dirt begins to go and cover up that casket in the ground. I just want you to know that it's real, that our Savior had a life and he also gave up that life. Amen. That he died and that he was buried. That they put him in that tomb and they didn't understand the prophecies and they didn't realize the truth of it all. They thought it was over. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. So there's Jesus, his lifeless body anointed and wrapped in fine linen and laid in that tomb. The stone is rolled to cover it up. The women are watching far away. Luke 23:54 says that day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on. The women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, studying the timeline of these events is not easy to me. There are people who believe that Jesus was crucified. The common accepted theory is that he was crucified on Friday. Others believe it was Thursday. I personally believe he was crucified on a Wednesday. And that the Thursday was that high Sabbath day, and that they got the spices on Wednesday. They prepared them on Thursday, and they would go back later to anoint the body of Jesus. They would do their work on Friday, then Saturday they had to rest again for the weekly Sabbath, and they would go early the first day of the week. I think studying all those things out is good, and I think trying to figure out the details is good, but I'm afraid so many times we get off in the weeds and we miss the point. Let me ask you a question. Does it matter? If it was so critical that he died on a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday, if it was so critical, I feel like maybe it would be more clear in the scriptures. I feel like we wouldn't be having all these debates about it. And I just wonder sometimes if our desire to be right gets in the way of our desire to be right with Jesus. Amen. So what we need to understand tonight is that Christ, the creator of the universe, God, was manifest in the flesh. That he lived a sinless life. That where the first Adam was disobedient, the second Adam, Jesus the Messiah, was obedient. Where the first Adam failed and brought death, the second Adam was victorious and brought life. Amen. And that as a man, he died. As a man, he suffered. As a man, he laid in that tomb. And I thank God tonight that we know the rest of the story. Because he did not stay in that borrowed tomb. Tonight, let's stand together. Musicians, come. While they're coming tonight, will you pray with me? Merciful Father, I thank you for Jesus, who gave up the ghost, who finished the work that you sent him to accomplish, who paid the full price for the sin of all mankind, who alone can take away the sin of the world. Thank you for taking away my sin. And Father, if anyone hearing this message has never been born again, please, please, Lord, let them trust in Christ who was crucified, who bore our sins, took our iniquities. And God, by his stripes, let them be healed. By faith in his blood, let their sins be taken away once and for all. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts, help us to love you and to live for you. And Lord, if anyone needs to make any decision for Jesus tonight, let them make it now as we sing. And Lord, help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.